Well, if you missed last week, we actually kicked off our Christmas series last week, a series titled Advent, a season of anticipation. And it's a series that is walking us through kind of this time of Advent, this Advent season. Now, I shared last week that the word Advent actually means coming, or it means arrival. And so the focus of the Advent season is the celebration of the birth of Jesus and His first coming, right? His first arrival here on earth. But if you were here, I also pointed out that it's also the anticipation of the return of Christ, His second coming, when He will return in all His glory, right, to take us home with Him. And so in both the celebration and anticipation of His coming, each week, one of the things that we do is we light one of these Advent candles. Now, there are five different candles that you'll see up here that represent. There's the candle that represents hope. There's the candle that represents peace. There's the candle that represents joy. There's the candle that represents love. And then there's the candle in the middle, the Christ candle, because He is the center of it all, right? It's all about Him. He's the one who brings us these things, who brings us hope, who brings us peace, joy, love. And so last week, we started with the hope candle, and it's already lit this morning. And that was the candle we lit last week, the hope candle. And we talked about the hope that we have in and through the story of Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to light the peace candle. I've actually asked my son Toby to come up, and if he will light this next candle. This is the peace candle. As it demonstrates the peace that Jesus brought when He came to this earth and that He gave us. Thanks, buddy. And so to talk about peace this morning, we're gonna take a look at the Christmas story found in Luke chapter 2. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me there this morning. Now, you can find a little bit of the Christmas story in Matthew, but the in-depth story of Jesus' birth is found in Luke 2, and that's what we're going to read this morning. It's the one that when people ask me, hey, I want to read about Christmas, I want to read the story of Jesus, people say, where do I go for that? Luke 2, all right? That's where you go to read the story of Christmas, all right? And so I'm going to read that to you this morning. We're going to read Luke 2, verses 1 through 14. It says this. I guess I should open my Bible. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." The story of Jesus here. And in verse 14, it wraps up by saying, on earth, peace. Peace to men. Now that word, peace, it's such a wonderful thought, isn't it, right? To be able to experience peace. But here's the question this morning. Is peace possible? Especially when we say peace on earth. Because when you look out at our world, it's hard to imagine what the angels were talking about, right? When they said peace on earth. As I was studying this, I came across an article from the New York Times. It was actually printed back in 2003. But this article that I read said that over the last 3,400 years, okay? Over the last 3,400 years, it said there have only been 268 years total. Not at one time, but in different places added up. 268 years total where wars weren't going on somewhere in the world. But now listen to this. Their definition of war was conflicts that claimed more than 1,000 lives. That's a lot of lives, right? There's been a lot of other conflicts and things going on that claimed a lot less lives. And so the reality is, it's probably been even a lot less than 260 years. I'm guessing that probably in the last 3,400 years, there probably haven't been too many years where there wasn't some sort of wars or conflicts happening. You see, we live in a fallen world, right? We live in a fallen world, and wars have raged throughout it before Jesus came, right? Because it was over. He came about a little over 2,000 years ago, so we're talking 3,400 years. So wars raged before he came, and they even raged after he came. So what were the angels saying when they claimed peace on earth towards men? Is peace possible, especially with all the pain and conflict that we experience in our world today? Well, I believe it is, and I hope you do too. But here's the thing, I'm not talking about world peace, okay? Like I said, we live in a fallen world. The Bible tells us that every day there's even a spiritual battle, right? There's a spiritual battle that isn't flesh and blood, that's raging in the realms of this world. And so because of that, I really don't believe that we will experience world peace until the second coming, until the second arrival, when Jesus comes and he wipes out the darkness once and for all. But I want to share this. As we talked last week, Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. And he entered this world and he brought light into this dark place. And so I believe it's possible for us to experience peace through Jesus in the midst of a fallen world. Now the problem is many of us are looking for it in the wrong places. We do that. We want peace. We want to experience peace, but we look for it in the wrong places. And so I want to start this morning by just sharing a few places that we look that I guarantee you we won't find it. All right? And there's a lot more than this. There's just a couple things that were on my mind in this, but there's so many other places where we seek to find peace and we won't find it. But in studying the time here and comparing it to our time, I found this. Number one, we won't find peace in our governments. We won't. As I've been studying the time of Jesus' first arrival, it's interesting to me how much of our world is similar to the time back then when Jesus came. First of all, it was a time when many of them, they trusted the government for everything. Right? It was a time when some people, especially those in positions of power, they really thought Rome was the answer to all the world's problems. They really thought that. It was a time when there were people who thought that the Roman Empire would bring peace and stability to the world. They thought its strong government and its powerful military would bring an end to all the wars of the world. They thought that their government could bring them peace. And I think many people have thought that about America, right? Yeah, big, strong America. They will take care of everything and just make everything good, right? I think many people have thought that. But if you look around, are we experiencing peace even in America? Neither the Roman government or our government has brought peace to our world. War rages all around us. Daily we hear It's sad to turn on the news. I mean, daily we hear of shootings, right? And violence taking place in our world. Our world is anything but peaceful. And the fact is we won't find peace in our governments. Another place people look for peace is this: we won't find peace in our wealth. We won't find peace in our wealth. Again, we find a similarity to the time of Jesus and the time of today, because much like today, the Roman Empire was all about accumulating wealth. They were all about their stuff, the bigger, the better. They built fine houses and they constructed these huge palaces. Who you were in that time, as far as status and greatness, was measured by your wealth. By how much gold you had, how big your palaces were. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? Our world today. People think the more wealth, the more money we have, the happier we'll be, the more peace that we can experience. Oh, if I just had this, then I'd be peaceful. I'd be at peace, right? But surprisingly, and often sooner than later, these people realize that more wealth doesn't bring them more peace. Oftentimes, it just brings them more problems, right? The more money you have, it doesn't mean more peace, it means more problems. And so there's many different things in this world that we seek out to give us peace, and when we go there, we find there is no peace. And so if we can't find peace through our governments or through wealth or any of the other ways that we fail to experience peace, where will we find it? How in the midst of this fallen and broken world are we supposed to experience that peace? And this morning, I think that the answer is found in verse 14. It says, on earth, peace to men. And then it's that next part. It says, peace to men on whom His favor rests. That peace will be given to the ones whom His favor rests upon. So who are the ones that His favor rests upon? Who are the ones that will experience His peace? And I believe it's His people. It's those who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. You see, true peace can only be found inside the will of God. Listen to that. True peace can only be found inside the will of God. True peace is a gift from God that we experience through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As we walk in His will, Jesus gave us this gift of peace when He left to be and go be with the Father. I want to read another scripture to you. It's in John 14, verses 25 through 27. I think I have it to put on the screen this morning. Listen to what He says to His disciples. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples shortly before He's about to leave. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." In verse 27, it says, "I'm giving you peace." Jesus is saying, "This is when I leave, I'm sending you, I'm giving you peace through the power of the Holy Spirit, but not the kind of peace that the world gives." And the question here is, what is He saying here? What kind of peace does the world give? You see, the reality is the world can bring peace to our lives from time to time. There's certain things, you know, whether it's our security systems or, we got a security system. I'm good. I can sleep at night. I'm peaceful, right? Or maybe it's our health. I got health insurance. I'm good, right? Or maybe it's a retirement plan. I feel good. I've got a nice retirement plan. I'm set, you know, in the past. I've got peace in that, you know. Or maybe some of us, our peace is just in our police, you know, departments or our military. We got a great military. They'll protect me, right? These are all great things that can give us peace of mind at times in our life. And I know there are numerous other things we can think of in this world that may help us feel peaceful. But Jesus said, I'm not giving you the kind of peace that the world gives you. What does he mean by that? He means this. He's not giving us the kind of peace that's here one day and gone the next. He's not giving us the kind of peace that's based on circumstances. Because a lot of the peace that we experience in this world is based on circumstances. When everything is good, right, then it's peaceful. But what happens when everything's not right? You see, that's the kind of peace the world offers. But here's the thing, God's peace, it doesn't go away when our governments fail. His peace doesn't go away when the retirement fund dries up. His peace doesn't go away when the circumstances of life crumble around us. Because his peace is not based on circumstances. The thing about the Lord's peace is that we can experience it regardless of the circumstances. It's the kind of peace that the world cannot produce or even grasp. What are you talking about? How do you experience that kind of peace? The world can't even grasp it, and the reason is because it's the peace of God. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. The peace of God I lay upon your life. Philippians 4:7 describes it as a peace that passes all understanding. We can't fathom it, right? A peace that the world cannot comprehend or understand. It's the kind of peace, listen to this, that allowed Jesus to sleep on the boat, right? You remember that story? Jesus is sleeping. The waves are crashing. The disciples are freaking out. And what's Jesus doing? He's just sleeping. It's the kind of peace that allows you to sleep through the storm. It's the kind of peace that allowed Jesus, as he hung up on the cross, crucified, people saying things about him, mocking him, and he was able to stand up there and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine that kind of peace? It's hard to imagine that kind of peace. It's the kind of peace that allowed Stephen to boldly preach the gospel in front of his persecutors and look to the Lord with this joy as he was being stoned to death, praising God in the midst of being killed. It's the kind of peace that allowed Peter to sleep in the prison. You remember the story of Peter, you know, where the angels come and let Peter out? The thing is, Peter was about to die that next morning. He was supposed to be crucified like everyone else had been crucified. And what's he doing? He's just sleeping. How many of you, if you knew you were going to be dying the next morning, would be like sleeping? You'd be like, I'm going to die. What's it going to feel like? Oh my gosh, your neck. Oh, you're starting to, you know, all these things, right? And Peter's just crashed out, and the angel's like, hey, wake up, buddy. Let's go. I'm getting you out of here. It's that kind of peace. It's the kind of peace that helped 20-some missionaries survive the prisons of Afghanistan. And let me explain this story. I'm a big Francis Chan fan, and Francis Chan, years ago when he spoke at our Foursquare National Convention, he shared this story. You may remember, I don't know, now it's been probably about 6, 7, 8 years ago that these missionaries were captured in Afghanistan. And I think they were Korean. I think they were Korean missionaries. Francis Chan got to meet one of the head pastors that was one of those missionaries. And he got to sit down and have dinner with him. And he starts talking to him. And this missionary begins to tell him the story of how they got captured. And they had brought them into this room. They had stripped them of everything. But somehow one of them was able to smuggle in a Bible. I mean, they had took everything from them, everything, you know, but one person had a Bible. And so they were in this room and they were told that they were going to be split up and taken to different places. And And so they just prayed together. They split the Bible up into pieces and handed it out and just said, trust in the Lord. God is in control. He is, you know, if we persecute, we will praise the Lord in the midst of this persecution. If we're killed, if whatever. And they just had this heart. And this pastor was actually, there were a couple different pastors. And they said, you know, they're going to start killing us one by one, but they're going to start with me. And one of the other pastors goes, well, yeah, you're a pastor, but I'm older than you and I'm a pastor. So they're going to kill me first. And the other ones were like, well, yeah, but you're older, but I'm ordained pastor. So you're going to kill me. They're going to kill me first. And so there were these guys that were, you know, and so they had killed two of them. And this pastor was supposed to be the next one to be killed. But somehow, and we don't even know the story, somehow they got rescued and were out of there. And God saved them. But it was interesting, this pastor, as he's telling Francis the story, said, you wouldn't believe, but within that next year, every single one of the people that were in the prison, they came to him and said, Pastor, I wish we were back there in that prison. I've never experienced the love. I've never experienced the peace. I've never experienced the closeness to God that I experienced in that time. I wish I could go back to that place. Now think about that. These people, they want to go into a place where they were tortured and being killed. That's unfathomable. That's the peace of God that they experienced as they sought the Lord in the midst of horrible situations, experiencing the peace of God. God is the only one that can give that kind of peace. And that is the kind of peace He wants us to experience, the kind of peace that passes all understanding. And because of the Christmas story, because of what Jesus did for us, some 2,000 years ago, we all have the opportunity to experience that kind of peace here on this earth. Peace in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of locked up backs while you're laying on the floor, right? Thinking, what in the world is going on? That peace that passes all understanding. And it's given to those on whom His favor rests. All we have to do is receive the gift He gave us through the miracle of Christmas. I want to wrap things up this morning with a story. I came across this story years ago when I was in youth ministry, and I love this story. It says this, years ago, there was a very wealthy man who, with his devoted young son, shared a passion for art collecting. Together they traveled around the world, adding only the finest art treasures to their collection. The widowed elder man looked on with satisfaction as his only child became an experienced art collector. The son's trained eye and sharp business mind caused his father to beam with pride as they dealt with art collectors around the world. As winter approached, war engulfed the nation, and the young man left to serve his country. After only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram. His beloved son was missing in action. Within days, his fears were confirmed. The young man had died while rushing a fellow soldier to a medic. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas holidays with anguish and sadness. The joy of the season would visit his house no longer. On Christmas morning, a knock on the door awakened the depressed old man. As he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand. He introduced himself by saying, I was a friend of your son. I was actually the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a moment? I have something to show you. As the two began to talk, the soldier told of how the man's son had told everyone of his love of fine art. I'm an artist, the soldier said, and I want to give you this. As the old man unwrapped the package, the paper gave way to reveal a portrait of the man's son. Though the world would never consider it the work of a genius, the painting featured the young man's face in striking detail. Overcome with emotion, the man thanked the soldier, promising to hang the picture above the fireplace, which he did, pushing thousands of dollars worth of paintings aside. During the days and weeks that followed, the man realized that even though his son was no longer with him, the boy's life would live on because of those he had touched. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possession. He told his neighbors it was the greatest gift he had ever received. The following spring, the old man became ill and passed away. The art world was in anticipation. With the collector's passing and his only son dead, his paintings would be sold at an auction. According to the old man's will, all the artworks would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day that he had received his greatest gift. The day soon arrived, and art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams would be fulfilled this day. Greatness would be achieved, as many would now claim to have the greatest collection ever. The auction began with a painting that was not on any museum's list. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid. The room was silent. "Who will open the bid with $100?" he asked. Minutes passed. No one spoke. From the back of the room came, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's forget it and get to the good stuff." "No, we have to sell this one first," replied the auctioneer. "Now, who will take his son?" Finally, a friend of the old man spoke up. "Will you take $10 for the painting? That's all I have. I knew the boy and I'd love to have it." "I have $10. Will anyone go higher?" called the auctioneer. After more silence, the auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, sold for $10. The gavel fell. Cheers filled the room and someone exclaimed, "Finally, it's about time we can get on with it and bid on the real treasures." But then the auctioneer looked at the audience and announced that the auction was over. "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a picture of some old guy's son. What about all his real paintings? There are millions of dollars of art here. I demand that you explain what's going on here." The auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever cared enough to buy the painting of the son gets it all." And I love that story because that's the truth for us. When we accept Jesus, we get it all. We get His hope. We get His peace. We get His joy. We get His love. We get it all. True peace is found in Jesus as we accept Him and allow His will to be carried out in our lives. Our world may crumble around us. Hurt and pain may invade the walls of our lives. But through the power of Jesus and what He did through the story of Christmas, we have the experience to experience peace here on earth. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this morning. We thank You for this Christmas season, Lord, and this opportunity to celebrate the birth of Jesus, to celebrate Him coming to this earth. And we know, Lord, that it wasn't just about the birth. It was what would come 33 years later, the fact that He would then die on the cross for our sins, that He would pay the price once and for all and open up the opportunity, Lord, for us to come before You, to experience You, to make You Lord and Savior of our life. And we thank You for that, Lord. We thank You for the fact that Lord, when we say yes to You, when we say yes to the Son, we get it all. We get Your peace. We get Your joy. We get Your love. We get all that You have. It's an amazing thing. Even in the midst of our failures, even in the midst of our difficulties, as we give them to You, You pour out the gift of Your Son upon us, the gift of life. And we thank You for that, Lord. And Lord, I pray that as we continue to move forward in this season of Christmas, that we don't get caught up in all the things that the world gets caught up in, the gifts and the decorating and all that. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but that first and foremost, we remember what it's all about. It's about Jesus who came into this earth to give us hope, to give us peace, to give us joy, to show us His love, that we might experience the life that You have for us. And we thank You for these things. Lord, will You challenge each of us, Lord, this Christmas season to live out Christmas in the way that You have called us to live it out, not the way the world wants us to, but the way you've called us to. And I pray that, Lord, in the midst of that, as we seek you, may we experience your peace this time during Christmas, Lord. It's so easy to get caught up in all the things and the stress, Lord, of money and the stress of this and the stress of that and pleasing everybody and making this that or whatever it is. There's so many things that can bring stress into our life. May we just experience the peace of you this Christmas season, Lord. Those things that we just need to let go of, let us let go of them, Lord. Let us not worry what others may say or think even in that, Lord, but to just walk in your peace and in your grace, and to live the life that you've called us to live, a life that glorifies you in all that we do, where we truly delight in doing that, Lord. We thank you for all these things, Lord. We just pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.